The name of the sermon today is Alignment. Alignment. A-L-I-G-N-M-E-N-T. Alignment. The other day, I ventured over to the How Stuff Works website. Name the invention, the machine, the tradition, or the process, and this site will tell you how it works. If you've never been over there, it's quite a sight to see. I was interested in car maintenance and what to look for that would indicate that my car needs attention. The following question was listed at the How Stuff Works site. How do I know when my car needs realigned? Now, quoting from the site, in answer to the question, you're wondering whether your car needs an alignment. First, look at your tires. Uneven tire wear, often more wear on the outside of some tires, is a prime indicator that your car is likely out of alignment. Here are a few more indicators. Your car seems to be drifting to one side, even when you think you're driving straight. Your steering wheel vibrates. You are driving straight, but your steering wheel isn't centered. If none of these indicators occur, but it's been a while since your last alignment, check your owner's manual to see how often the manufacturer recommends having this service. An out-of-alignment car is a common result of everyday driving. But the term alignment doesn't really refer to your car's wheels, but rather to the suspension. As part of the normal driving, parts of your car's suspension may become worn. The springs can be stretched out. Even a small accident or bumping a curb can disturb your suspension, knocking out some of the highly calibrated components off kilter, making your wheels sit at improper angles. An alignment restores these angles to their correct measurements, making sure that your wheels sit straight. An alignment will ensure that your car drives straight and handles properly, making your ride safer. You'll also get better gas mileage because your tires will be aligned, properly aligned, with the road, decreasing resistance. End quote from the website. So we can easily see the importance of having your car's suspension in alignment. Today I want to talk about spiritual alignment. If physical alignment is of utmost importance to your car, spiritual alignment is utmost to your salvation process. The purpose of my sermon today is to encourage all of us to be in and stay in spiritual alignment. Like our cars, we want to ensure that we are walking straight on the path of righteousness, handling the Word of God properly, and avoiding all undue resistance on our journey to the kingdom. What we are going to talk about today is under the heading of alignment, is scriptures that speak to guidance of Almighty God and admonitions and commands to walk on and stay on the one path to salvation in the kingdom of God with eternal life. The Bible says that the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. To whom are they mercy and truth? Take a look at Psalms 25. Psalms 25 and verse 10. To whom are they mercy and truth? Psalm 25 verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. I want to now look at scriptures that speak to godly guidance. So there's all kinds of scriptures in the Bible that speak to godly guidance. His guidance is what keeps us in alignment. Under the heading of guidance and under the subheading of his instruction, Proverbs 23 and verse 19. Proverbs 23 and verse 19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You notice in the in the admonitions about your car alignment, it is in essence telling you don't rely on your own understanding. Look for the indicators that tell you that your car is out of alignment. Because one of those indicators said that you think you're driving straight down the road and you're actually drifting off. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And we have a whole sermon on this verse. And it kind of strikes you hard because it says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Do you know what's involved in an animal sacrifice? Here it says you are to present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. It's your minimum requirement to give yourself wholly to God. And be not, this is verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see that renewing of your mind? You're constantly renewing the mind. That's you getting back in alignment on a regular basis. You're constantly renewing your mind. Still under guidance, but under the subheading of our duty. Psalm 112 and verse 5. Today's sermon is basically going to be a reading of Scripture on all of these subjects and these sub-subjects to alignment. So under our duty, Psalms 112 and verse 5, a good man showeth favor and lendeth, he will guide his affairs with discretion. So we are keeping our lives in alignment, aren't we? Part of stewardship is keeping yourself in alignment financially, regarding your possessions, regarding your life. Psalm 119 and 105. Mr. Armstrong used this verse a lot. We have a sound bite of his. When you go to the site, you will sometimes read this Psalm 119 and 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So there's your handbook of alignment. It's the Word of God. Under the subheading of our prayer and attitude, so that this is what is in your prayers. Psalm 31 and verse 3. Thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. So we are praying to God to stay in alignment. You're asking God to constantly lead you and guide you, not just spiritually, but physically, mentally, and emotionally. Psalm 25. Verses 4 and 5, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. You can see that's couched in a prayer to God. You're asking God for this. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Interesting, you have both concepts in one verse there. Show me the ways and teach me the ways. You know, show me the ways and teach me the paths. So we are being shown the way. And we're also learning the way, aren't we? We're in deep study. Verse 5, lead me in thy truth and teach me. See, there again. Lead me and teach me. For thou art God of my salvation, and on thee do I wait all the day. What does that mean, wait all the day? That means that as you're going through life, you are constantly experiencing physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual situations. You do not reside in a vacuum. So you're constantly moving forward in life. You're moving forward in the salvation process. You need God at all times. So you wait on Him all the day. What are you waiting for? Truth. You're waiting for, lead me in the truth and teach me. Show me the ways. That's what you're waiting on. What do I do here? You're making decisions all day long. And you're waiting on the Lord as you make decisions. You're counting on Him. James 1, verses 5 and 6, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, speaking to first fruits, that give to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. Now we got a duty to this asking God for wisdom. It says, but let him ask for this wisdom in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. How is this wavering manifested, do you think? It's manifested in you and I thinking that we don't measure up to the Word of God, or we put ourselves down, or we say, I don't know that I can do it. I don't know, I'm worthless. I'm nothing. Well, you're right, but you're wrong. Without God, we are in fact worthless. But we have to operate on the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit that's in you, strongest power in the universe, keeps you from wavering. So regardless of how you might be thinking about yourself, you are an instrument in God's hands. He's given you His Holy Spirit to overcome any shortcomings that you might think you have in your life. And so we can't be thinking about how worthless we might be, or how we don't think we have enough faith, or we don't know if we can make it, or I sure hope God is still working with me, and those kind of thought processes. That's wavering. We don't want that. So we want to ask Him in faith. We have to do this boldly. He's the one. I'm not telling you to act boldly. The Word of God is telling you to act boldly and to come before His throne in boldness. That's the only way you can keep from wavering. Let's look under the heading of Promises of God. Still under guidance, the subheading Promises of God. So not only are we praying to Him to be shown the way, He's going to promise us certain things. Now, if you live by the promises, that will keep you from wavering. If you live on the promises and you're looking to God to show you the way, that's going to keep you in alignment. So this is holistic. We're looking at many aspects to keep you in alignment. So under promises of God, Psalm 25 and verse 9. Psalm 25 and verse 9, the meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. Psalm 48 and verse 14. For this God is our God forever and ever, and He will be our guide even unto death. That's an absolute promise. He's going to be with you. So who cares about what we feel about ourselves? We're usually down on ourselves. As I listen to the congregation over the decades, that's a natural feeling. It's a natural feeling. Why did God call me? Who am I? How can I do this? How can I be expected to do what God wants me to do? He doesn't expect you to do what He wants you to do. He expects you to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. So you are merely allowing God to work in and through you to accomplish building character. You are releasing yourself. You are a living sacrifice. So you are giving up your life for God. You are doing everything His way instead of what the people out there in the world are doing it. They're out there doing it their way. And it looks like they're winning sometimes, doesn't it? This is why we're not to envy the rich. Because all of their, what looks like the good life for them, is very temporary. You're working towards an eternal life. Isaiah 58 and verse 11. And the Lord, this is a promise now, and the Lord shall guide you. Wait, when is He going to guide me? It says continually. And satisfy thy soul in drought. Usually what comes out of our mouth is talking about the drought. Why did God call me? But He says He will satisfy thy soul despite that, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Do you see what God is promising here, what He's providing for us? He knows that we're nothing. We're puny human individuals. We can do nothing of ourselves. Matter of fact, He told us not to lean to our own understanding. We are to put our total life into His hands and believe these promises. You can demand these promises. You can boldly go before God with these promises. And He has to deliver. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, it shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Let's talk about the future. When we're talking about godly guidance, let's look at the future. Isaiah 30 and verse 21. This is how people are going to be guided in the millennium, and you are going to be a part of this future. So you're learning how to stay in alignment now. What do you think you're going to be doing in the millennium? You are going to be involved in making other people stay in alignment. Isaiah 30, verse 21. And thine ears, this is talking to humans in the millennium, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk you in it when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Oh, going off the path? So you don't want to go off to the right or off to the left. You want to be going straight down the path. So we are going to be helping people in the millennium to walk forward and stay on the path. We're going to be keeping people in alignment. And how are you going to be able to do that? How are you going to be able to keep people in alignment in the millennium? Well, first of all, you're going to be a spirit being with eternal life. That'll help a lot, won't it? But you will have already learned about alignment in this lifetime. So you are building a character of staying in alignment. We have Christ as our example. He is the epitome. He is the icon of alignment. He walked on this earth as a human, always in alignment. And notice how he did that. A lot of prayer, study, fasting. Let's look at the pathway. The pathway, under the heading of the pathway. So we're going to look at scriptures that deal with the pathway. In regard to pathways, what should we be praying about? Psalm 27 and verse 11. Psalm 27, verse 11. What should we be praying about in regards to pathways? Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of my enemies. And of course, we live on a planet that is full of enemies. Worldliness, our own human nature, Satan. So we're in the boxing ring, but we're having to fight off three fighters. So you have a huge battle before you. Have you ever seen a fighter have to take on three other fighters that are quite formidable in their strength? That's what you are doing. The first fruits have it the hardest. They have to fight off three fighters. And it says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the path because of mine enemies. We're facing three enemies every day. Our own human nature, worldliness, all of that organized temptation out there, and Satan. What should be in the wording of our prayers? What should be in the wording of these prayers regarding pathways? Psalm 17 and verse 5. Hold up my goings in the paths, that thy footsteps slip not. So you're asking God to be in alignment. Help me to stay in alignment. That's how Jesus did it. He was constantly praying for direction. He said, I'm here to do my Father's business. So he was in constant contact with the Father on what that business was. You see often through the New Testament, through the Gospels, and Jesus doing this and going there, and he's saying certain things to the apostles. Where do you think he's getting all this information? He's getting it from his Father. Remember, he was human, just like you and I at the time. But he had something that we didn't have, but now we are working towards having the same as he did, and that's knowledge, understanding. One can overcome sin. One can stay in alignment because of the knowledge and the understanding that we have about how to stay in alignment and how to go on these straight down these pathways, and how to pray to God. We've got verses here telling us exactly how to pray. He didn't tell us, oh, you guys need to pray. Oh, really? How? He's telling us exactly how. He's giving us the words to say, you know, the concepts in the mind to be praying about. Psalm 119 and verse 35, still under the heading of what should be the wording of my prayers. Psalm 119, verse 35, make me, God, make me to go in the paths of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. And for every instance in which you are keeping the commandments, in other words, doing it God's way, you will be in delight, you'll be in joy, you'll be in happiness, you'll be in prosperity. What are first fruits convinced of regarding the pathways of God? Are we convinced of anything? We should be convinced of all godly things. Every scripture I'm reading to you today is something you should be absolutely convinced about and act boldly upon. These are scriptures you can take before the throne of God. These promises, you can take those promises word for word, print them out, take them before God's throne and ask that they be manifested in your life. He would not give us promises if we were not to ask for and boldly claim those promises. This is how you stay in alignment. You're only going to be able to stay in alignment if you're praying to God for this kind of direction and boldly taking possession of those promises. What are first fruits convinced of regarding the pathways of God? Psalm 16 and verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Well, there's a bold statement. Thou wilt show me the path of life? How could that be stated there? Thou wilt show me the path of life. That's only a person that has read also the promises of God. You will show me the paths of life. I know you're going to do that. You've called me to be a first fruit. Therefore, I know you're going to show me the paths of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. If you're a first fruit, guess what? You are in the salvation process room. There's only two other beings in that room, Jesus Christ and God the Father. So in thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So he gives us pleasures and prosperity now, very small degree compared to what we're going to have, but that's what you have to look forward to if you stay in alignment. Take a look at Psalms 23. Psalm 23, he restoreth my soul. This is verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. He's not doing it for our sake. It ends up being that way for our sake, but he's doing it for his namesake. This is his project. He is doing what he is doing for his namesake. So he restores my soul. He's restoring your soul. He's leading you in the paths of righteousness to fulfill and manifest his plan. He has formulated a plan. He had this plan in place before the foundations of this earth were even laid, that you would walk in those paths of righteousness, that you would build righteous character. I'm thinking of what he must have been thinking about at that time. I'm going to build me a people who are in alignment with my way of thinking. Psalm 139 and verse 3, thou compassest my path and my laying down and art acquainted with all my ways. He was acquainted with all your ways before you were born. He knew before the earth was made that he was going to call you, on what day he was going to call you, at what age you would be when he called you, where you would be when he called you, and what you were doing when he called you. He's holistic in this. He's covered every minute detail. This isn't a whimsical thing going on here. What pathway instructions does God give us? These would be alignment scriptures, wouldn't they? What pathway instructions does God give us? Proverbs 1:15. My son, walk not thou in the way of them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Kind of like check your tires to see if there's any uneven wear on them, because I don't want you drifting off the path. Check the manual. Check the car's manual to make sure that you're checking all of the indicators. Walk not thou in the way of them. how are you not going to walk in the way of them? What are you going to do to make sure you're not, what is the way of them, in other words? You got to know what the way of them is to make sure you don't walk that way. You get that knowledge from the Word of God. Don't try to go out and figure it out, you know, on the job training. Learn it from the Word of God. He shows you in there, virtually verse for verse, he'll show you the right way and then give you an example of the wrong way. Proverbs 4:11, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. Well, that's a judgment right there, isn't it? We have no excuse. It says right there, he's teaching me the ways of wisdom. Well, by the way, what is our definition of wisdom? Action. Action. He gives us knowledge that grows into understanding, and then we invoke it in wisdom. Wisdom is action. Proverbs 4:14, just a couple of verses down. Enter not into the path of the wicked. There's another admonition. Well, how do I know not to enter into that path? I need to know what the path of the wicked is. You get that knowledge. He gives you the understanding. He shows you both the good and the evil, so you'll avoid the evil. He cannot tell us, walk not in the path of the wicked. I got to know what the wicked is. So he's showing you from the path of righteousness. He says, look over there off the path. There's the path of the wicked. Don't go there. He gives us total knowledge, isn't he? It says, and go not the way of evil men. Proverbs 7 and verse 25. Proverbs 7 and verse 25. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. The only way you're going to be able to do that is to constantly check your alignment, to make sure that your heart isn't declining. You know, do a word study on decline. Whatever the definition of decline is, you don't want that to happen to yourself. So do yourself a word study on the word decline. Will some in the faith leave the path of righteousness? Is there a way for a faithful first fruit to keep from doing that? Let me read this again. Will some in the faith leave the path of righteousness? Is there a way for a faithful first fruit to keep from doing that? Proverbs 2. Beginning in verse 11. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the path of the evil man, from the path that speaketh forward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the paths of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they forward in their paths. Let us look at more on how they stay in alignment on the right path. Proverbs 2, earlier in the chapter, verses 6 through 10, Proverbs 2, beginning in verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth come what? Knowledge and understanding. So then, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding, which gives wisdom. The staying in alignment. What are we trying to invoke today? Staying in alignment. Verse 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them who walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserves the way of the saints. Then shall thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom enters into thy heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. So a faithful first fruit is one who is taking in on a constant basis the knowledge and the understanding. You notice that the how stuff works. It was giving you knowledge and understanding of how to keep your car in alignment, not only to keep your car in alignment, but to know when it's going out of alignment. Because it says if you rely on your own understanding, you're going to think you're driving straight down the road and you're actually drifting. You're actually causing wear and tear to your tires. You're causing resistance between the road and your tires, costing you money, slowing you down, taking you off the path. Are we to examine ourselves regarding the way we walk in the path? What happens if we do this examination? Proverbs 4 and verse 26. Did you realize there was this much on pathways? Proverbs 4 and verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet. This is called examining yourself. This is called getting the owner's manual and seeing if there's any indicators that you might be going off the path. It says, ponder the path of your feet. What do you think you're pondering about? You're pondering about alignment and misalignment. Am I still in alignment? I'm pondering the path of my feet. Am I going straight? Am I staying on the path? And let all thy ways be established. So the more you're pondering the path of your feet, the more your ways are going to be established. Kind of gives you a promise on that. You ponder, he'll establish. Does our alignment on the pathway of righteousness get better as we grow in spiritual maturity? Proverbs 4 and verse 18. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So our alignment gets better and better. We're constantly refining to make sure we stay right in the middle of the road, not even getting close to going off that path. We're staying in the safe middle of that path at all times. Will we know eternal life if we stay on the path? Proverbs 12 and verse 28. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. Speaking of the second death. Let's talk about following the pathway. We pray about it. We got to look at some information, some knowledge and understanding about following the path. What is it about first fruits? As you're going to see, first fruits are people who know how to stay on the path. I want to quote from a piece from my sermon, Moment of Judgment, about the 10 virgins, which has the tagline, Are We in the Time of the 10 Virgins? In the sermon, and I give you a link to that sermon, in the sermon I look at a number of key words of Matthew 25, 1 through 13, which is the parable of the 10 virgins. The word I want to review is wise, wise, as in the five wise virgins. This is Strong's word 5429 and means thoughtful. And one of my favorite words on the planet, sagacious. Sagacious or discreet, implying a cautious character. Sagacious. This is the meaning of the word sagacious. Of quick sense perception, keen-scented, he's keen-scented, skilled in following a trail, as in the pathway God has set before us. So if you are a sagacious first fruit, you are a person skilled. You got the skill from God and the power to invoke that skill by the power of the Holy Spirit. You stay in the pathway that God has set before us. Hence, this is the second part of the definition of sagacious, hence of quick intellectual perception, discerning and judicious knowing, far-sighted. You're not only looking at the path before you, but you know where the path is going. If you ever saw the movie Wizard of Oz, it says, follow the yellow brick road. Well, when you first see the yellow brick road, it doesn't look like it's going much of anywhere. Matter of fact, it starts going in circles, then it just goes off towards the horizon. But you don't really have an idea. Matter of fact, I don't think they sort of knew where they were going. They were going to the City of Oz, wherever that was. But they had that in mind. We need to be far-sighted. We're looking at the kingdom at the end of this path. We're looking at the kingdom of God. So there's a lot. That's a movie theme. It's a theme of movies and literature, books, and novels on following a path. Somebody is on a pathway. Might be an evil pathway, might be a good pathway, but it is a theme that man, you know, intellectually understands. They understand going this way. So hints of quick intellectual perception. That intellectual perception comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. So God has given you His Holy Spirit. Where did He put the Holy Spirit, by the way? In your heart? In your feet? No, He put it in your brain. It's working in absolute point-blank contact with your brain. And so it's helping you to be quick intellectual perception, discerning, and judicious, knowing you know stuff, and you're far-sighted because of it. The Word of God is a handbook of salvation to eternal life. That's what's at the end of the path. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Under the word discreet, discreet, possessed of discernment, especially in avoiding error and evil, and in the adaptation of means to ends, prudent, sagacious, not rash or heedless, cautious. Now, don't these two words capture what a wise servant is? These are all words describing the wise servants of Matthew 25. They are actively and energetically involved in the salvation process. They avoid error and evil. They know how to work their way clear through the salvation process, and they never take their eye off the kingdom of God. They are ready at all times and keep themselves full of spirit, end quote from the sermon. Let's go back to that quote from How Stuff Works on alignment of your car's suspension. It said to first look at the tires for uneven wear. We want to examine our current walk on the path of righteousness. Are we still going straight? The website then says to look for more indicators. Your car seems to be drifting to one side, even when you think you're driving straight. Note, referencing 1 Timothy 1:6 that I talked to you about last night, are we even beginning to swerve off the path into vain jangling? The site says your steering wheel vibrates. Is your spiritual wheel vibrating? That is, are you having doubts, growing weary in well-doing, and lacking in spiritual fervency and diligence? If you are, then your spiritual wheel is vibrating right now. Are you driving straight, but your steering wheel isn't centered? This is likened to a lack of spiritual interface with God's Word and God's ways. We are currently driving straight, but our steering wheel is not centered. You stay centered by being immersed in the Word of God. The website then says, if none of these indicators occurs, but it's been a while since your last alignment, check your owner's manual to see how often the manufacturer recommends this service. This statement is likened to our examining ourselves and getting immersed into the Word of God. In other words, stop the neglect. How Stuff Works then states, an out-of-alignment car is a common result of everyday driving. But the term alignment doesn't really refer to your car's wheels, but rather to the suspension. As part of normal driving, parts of your car's suspension may become worn, and springs can be stretched out. Even a small accident, like a test or a trial, even a small accident or bumping a curb can disrupt your suspension, knocking some of the highly calibrated components off kilter, making your wheels sit at improper angles. An alignment restores these angles to their correct measurements, making sure that your wheels set straight. Getting out of alignment can happen at any time while you're in the salvation process. In this analogy, the suspension is likened unto the Holy Spirit in us. The site says, it's not the wheels, but the suspension. Clearly, the Holy Spirit is our suspension, as it keeps us on the straight and narrow. While in the salvation process, our suspension could become worn or stretched out. The Bible says, quench not the Holy Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. So it's possible that one could quench the Spirit, knock the suspension out of alignment. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, Ephesians 4:30. The meaning of grieve here means by giving way to any wrong temper, unholy word, or unrighteous action. That from the Adam Clark. The website then states, even a small accident or bumping the curb can disrupt your suspension, knocking some of the highly calibrated components off kilter, making the wheel set at improper angles. The Word of God says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Do you see how that's saying the same thing? Saying the same thing there. That's Galatians 5:9. 2 Timothy 2, beginning in verse 16. Right out of the manual here. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, to whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already. See, I was talking to you about that last night. Somebody comes to you and says, hey, I think the resurrection's already happened. What are you supposed to do? Get back in alignment. Don't listen to one person. You get witnesses, and those witnesses of the faith, you're going to go to the witness, find your witnesses in the faith, and they'll tell you, that isn't so. That isn't so. It says, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some, knocking other people out of alignment. So there's people running in and around the body of Christ trying to throw people out of alignment. The How Stuff Works site then says, an alignment restores these angles to their correct measurements, making sure that your wheels sit straight. The Word of God gives us all manner of admonitions on getting in alignment and staying in alignment. Here are a few. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. By definition, if you're in the faith, you're in alignment. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you become reprobates? Psalm 26 and verse 2, examine me, O Lord. The best way to examine yourself is have God do it. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try the reins and my heart. Check my alignment. Psalm 17 and verse 3, thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. I'm not going to get out of alignment if you're proving my heart all the time. Psalm 139, verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. That's a first fruit, asking God for alignment. Verse 24, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Constantly asking God for guidance. Constantly asking God for alignment. Using the Word of God and the measure of Christ to see if we're in alignment. Job 31. Beginning in verse 4, Job 31, beginning in verse 4, doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hastened to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. If my step hath turned out of the way, and my heart walketh after mine eyes, my own understanding, and if any blot hath cleaved to mine hands. So God knows that. He's asking, Job is asking God, he sees my ways. If any of these things are happening, he will weigh me in an even balance. An even balance? That's called alignment. Psalm 51 and verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. We're constantly renewing ourselves, constantly refining our alignment. It gets better and better as we go on to the kingdom. Isaiah 40 and verse 31, but they that wait, there's that concept again, wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, which is to say, I'm not going to allow myself to get out of alignment, and they shall walk and not faint. They shall walk what? Straight and not faint. Get out of alignment. Go off the path. Finally, the website says, an alignment will ensure your car drives straight and handles properly, making your ride safer. You'll also get better gas mileage because your tires will be properly aligned with the road, decreasing resistance. Does the Word of God say anything like this for obeying His laws, commandments, and ways? Psalm 32 and verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. Psalm 73 and verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. Psalm 37, by the way, that's a right attitude, isn't it? Psalm 73, 24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. And afterwards, I'm claiming the promise, this is what I'm looking for, I'm looking for the kingdom of God, and afterwards receive me to glory. That's called a right attitude. That's an attitude in right alignment. And afterward, he's going to receive me to glory. That moment of judgment that the wise virgins experienced. Psalm 37, beginning in verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Yeah, sometimes we fall. We fall in the path. A fall will come. You know, remember when the website says, well, you could be just driving along and you might bump the curb and that'll throw you out of alignment. Well, there it is right there. Though he fall, though he bump the curb, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. It's the power of Almighty God, the will of Almighty God, the plan of Almighty God to keep you in alignment. So though you hit the curb, and we hit the curb a lot, don't we? We're always hitting the curb. I get the laments of people contacting me on a regular basis saying, I hit the curb again. Woe is me. And I'm telling you right there, I should just say, go to Psalms 37. Every time you hit the curb, you're not utterly cast down. Get that thought out of your head. This is a person stating that he will not be utterly cast down. I'm not going to allow a negative attitude. I'm not going to be a woe is me or why did God call me. None of that. Those thoughts will throw you out of alignment. Proverbs 2 and verse 8. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserves the way of the saints. Matthew 11 verse 28. Matthew 11 verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that hit the curb. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We sometimes make the yoke too heavy, too hard. It's not. He says right there, the yoke is easy. That's because when we are in alignment, the car is running smooth. And if your car is running smoothly, hey, things are going pretty good right now. Let us finish our discussion today with a reading of an alignment chapter from Proverbs. So this is the alignment chapter, Proverbs 3. And this will finish up our sermon for today. Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 1. I want you to think alignment as we go through this. It's all about alignment. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Now, this is instruction in alignment, isn't it? So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. And I'm talking about your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual barn shall be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. You know, correction and chastisement, that just keeps you in alignment. Neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is the tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto the soul, and grace unto the neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear. How much have we been talking about? Prepare for the shock. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in thy power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with man about cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lonely. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of the fools. Let us end by reading Proverbs 12 and verse 28 again. Proverbs 12 and verse 28. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. So stay in alignment.